Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother, I'm on the right to the
I recorded, man.
Yeah,
I can
I'm on the right to the
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we
Welcome to the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show on this beautiful Monday, on this wonderful, wonderful Monday morning. Here it is, the last day of Black History, which is February the 28th, and what a beautiful day it has already started to be. And whatever you do today, give God the glory. Thank you for the hearts, Elaine and Gloria. Thank you for the hearts. Give God the glory. Don't let nobody mess you up where you cannot give God the glory. Hey, Anita Sanders, how are you? God bless you. Boy, do we have a show for you like we do every single Monday, and we're going to talk about a lot of different things. One of the things we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about mental health, because mental health is very, very important. I see you, Brother Clarence M. Allen. God bless you. Everybody, okay, look, if you want to go on Facebook right now, Facebook Live, go to Eddie Justice Jones Jr., Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook. Now, if you want to go on, hey, Cassandra, good morning. How are you? And Cassandra, make sure you join us on the show right here. And if you want to get me on Instagram, you want to get me on Instagram right now, it's justicejonesjr.eddie. justicejonesjr.eddie on Instagram. Right now, you can go right there right now. justicejonesjr.eddie, E-D-D-I-E, on Instagram. And if you want to call into the show, the number is 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. That's the number to the show. You can call in right now. Without further ado, let's get our co-host in the studio, Brother Clarence M. Allen. Brother Clarence M. Allen, good morning to you. How are you, brother? Welcome to the show.
Oh, what's going on? Yeah, what's going on? I tell you what's going on. What's going on, Pastor Eddie? What's going on to the co-producers, to the co-hosts, especially what's going on to all the listeners throughout California, the rest of the nation, and around the world? Once again, Pastor Eddie, we have tuned into the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk radio show, the Eddie Justice Jones radio blog talk show. Eddie, once again, man, you got that Louisville slugger in your hand, and you're hitting home runs. Thanks for having me again, Pastor Eddie.
Oh, you're very welcome, Brother Clarence. Welcome to the show. It's such an honor and a pleasure to have you in the studio with us this morning as our co-producer. Let's get in Professor Reams. Good morning, Professor Reams. How are you on this wonderful morning? Professor Reams, please take
good morning. Yes, good morning, Pastor Jones. Always a wonderful, wonderful day in the neighborhood. And so, as I say, everyone, get ready, get set, because we're going to be on the best blog talk radio program for Monday, which starts our weeks off and looking at how we are going to deal with our issue for the week and prayer, love, and also the showing of how God's grace is always present. And with that, good morning to everyone, because it's now time to sit back, relax, get something comfortable, and have a wonderful ride as you start your week off in the best way. So I yield back to you, Pastor.
Pastor Reams.
And good morning, the regulator.
I am honored beyond words this morning. Our show this morning, we're going to talk about a very sensitive topic on our show today, and we want to take the stigma off of mental health. There's a lot of things that are transpiring in the mental health field and just in our streets alone that we don't know a whole lot about, but we need to know more about it. I have a caller in the 310-482. Caller in the 310-482 area code. Are you there?
Yes. Hello. This is Gina Valentina LeBeau. How are you, Pastor?
Gina, you're our special guest today. I'm doing fantastic. But speak just a little bit louder because we can't hear you that well.
I tried with my headphones. Let me change my headphones. I'm on my iPhone. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's okay. That's okay. We just want to hear you loud and clear.
Yes, of course. Can you hear me better now or no?
Yes, we can hear you much better now. We can hear you much better. Okay, hold on.
Okay,
caller in the 323-57. Hold on, Gina. Don't go anywhere. Everybody say good morning to Gina LeBeau.
Good morning, Gina. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Gina.
Good morning.
It's an honor to have you on the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, caller in the 323-571 area code, are you there? Caller in the 323-571
area code. Good morning, Eddie. I am there.
All right. Everybody say good morning to Vera Jones. Vera Jones.
Vera Jones, good morning.
Granny V.
Good morning, Clarence, Professor Reams, all the co-hosts and listeners. Happy Monday.
Hey, man, how you doing this morning, Vera?
Wonderful, Eddie. Wonderful.
It's a beautiful day. Isn't it a beautiful day?
Yes, it is.
It is a beautiful day. Okay, so with that being said, wow, we have our special guest. Everybody, again, Vera, say hello to Gina. Gina, say hi to Vera.
Good morning,
hi, Vera.
Gina.
Can you guys hear me better now? Hi, good morning. How are you, love?
Wonderful.
Yes,
thank
we can
you.
Hear you. Much, We can hear you much, much, much better now. We can hear you
better. Apple iPod, not the Go. Old school plug-in headphones with a microphone.
That's okay. That's fine. That's fine. We're so happy to have you on. Now, what happened was, Clarence, you were with us, and Clarence, you'll probably be taking over the show in a little while, but I'll still be online. I'll still be with the show, but I have a very important thing I must do this morning. But I'm not going anywhere until we have an interview with Gina this morning. Gina is our very extreme special guest. On our show, we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. But if we don't stand up for something, we'll end up falling for anything. And I see you, Annette Williams. I see you, Gloria. But before we go any further on the show, I want to do something special here. A friend of my family, I want to shout out Elaine Cosley and Gloria Majors right now, but they lost one of their family members. Mrs. Gloria Majors lost her son. He expired over the weekend, and we want to send love, and we want to send a blessing to her right now.
Indigenous.
I'll start off with you first. His name is Christopher. Professor Reams, please take the floor. Let's say something positive and uplifting for the family of Christopher, which is Gloria Majors and Elaine Cosley, and they're both online right now.
Well, I want to express my prayers and at your loss, and that my hope is that there'll be closure there, and that he has been called home, and that it is rather sad here, but joyous because he'll be reunited with the Lord. And my hopes and fears and feelings are with you at all times. So please, please, I pray for all of you that you'll get through this, and it will be a joyous time for you as you remember the legacy of him. Pastor Jones?
Amen. Amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. Thank you for those words of inspiration and inspiring. And Clarence and Mellon, would you take the floor? Please, Clarence and Mellon, just send a little shout-out to the Majors and the Cosley family right now at the loss of a nephew and a son, Christopher. Go right ahead, Brother Clarence.
Yes, our deepest sympathies and condolences to the Majors and the Crosby entire family. No one knows what you're going through right now but you, your family, and God. So we want to send our love, our well wishes. May God Almighty give you all the energy, the strength, and the willpower to keep stepping forward, moving forward in this tragic of your family life. God bless you. God keep you. May he hug you all and embrace you all with his love, his grace, and all his goodness. God bless you all.
Amen, amen. Praise God. I'm going to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, would you send a shout-out to Elaine Cosley and Mrs. Gloria Majors right now at the loss of their loved one, Christopher? Go right ahead, Vera.
Yes. It is well said by Professor Reams and Clarence, but what I wanted to add in my condolences is that we don't know what's on the other side, however, but we know on the other side there is greatness. And to pay attention to whatever totem animals that you see, you know, like a hummingbird or, you know, like a snail or just anything, because sometimes a lot of the totem animals come and will continuously reappear, and it's a sign that your loved one is near. So my condolences, my love, and strength is going for you both.
Amen. Thank you so much. I want to shout out, hey, how you doing, Elaine? Hey, how you doing? Celebrating. I see you there on Instagram. I see you too there, ticket holders and ticket buyers on Instagram. I see you guys. I see you, Mrs. Newell, on Facebook Live. Thank you, guys. I want to send a shout out to you, Mrs. Gloria Majors, and also Elaine Cosley, and to all the family members first of all, sending my deepest, our deepest condolences and sympathies. We want to remember and never to forget. And, you know, we understand that you're going through the bereavement process right now, and we send you love and support from the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show and the Los Angeles Civil Rights Association. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you for sharing this information that we may be able to share with somebody else, because no matter who we are, we're all going to have a moment like this in our life. And all we can do is love on each other and support each other, and that's how we get through these kind of things. You know, I don't wish it on anyone, and no one wants to hear that. But it's the reality. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' name, amen. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights and my rights. There's no smoking guns. It's the real deal, Holyfield, on our show. Our special exclusive guest this morning is Gina LeBeau. And Gina LeBeau has some very interesting subject matter that we're going to talk about, mental health and mental abilities and disabilities. And I want to share our first topic with you. And our special guest will be Gina LeBeau. And our first topic is Kaiser Hospital mistreating a patient with a mental disorder and taking away her service dog. Our guests are, and hopefully we can get Curtis on the line too, but without further ado, Gina, please take the floor and tell us about what happened at Kaiser when you went in. You had something stuck in your foot, and you went in for your foot, and it ended up turning into a whole nother episode. Go right ahead, Gina. Take the floor.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much. My name is Gina Valentina LeBeau. A little bit about my background. I was actually born in Los Angeles at Kaiser Cadillac, the same hospital that had this traumatic event happen to me and my dog. I had sustained an injury through my sandal where I needed the wound to be cleared out. I tried to do it myself, as anyone would. You clean it. My neighbor cleaned it, but my foot was swollen, and it was the weekend of the big Super Bowl game. So I tried to call in and make an appointment and try to find resources, because I feel like as a Black woman in this city and as a Black woman in this nation, that there's no sanctuary for me not to be okay and not for me to be well. There's this, for me, I feel like they always tell you, be strong, be okay, you got this, hustle, grind, the strong Black woman. I'm a soft Black woman. I'm human. And when I'm in pain and I don't feel well, I deserve the utmost quality of care. And the biggest thing that I'm fighting for, and not even fighting for, I'm living for, by the grace of God, is to thrive. And that is the motto of Kaiser Permanente, is to thrive. But I am not thriving. I'm barely surviving in a system not designed for me to just be okay. And honestly, that's been a part of my journey. So I called into Kaiser. And another issue, this is a big thing, it's a big terminology. I have my background in neuroscience and behavior from Mount Holyoke College in Massachusetts. I have my Bachelor's of Arts. And I've worked in science for a while. But I switched into sciences.
Gina, I don't mean to interrupt you, Gina, yeah. But could you tell them the title of what your mental disability is and what it means?
Oh, yes. So my mental disability is cyclothymia. Cyclothymia is on the spectrum of bipolar disorder. A lot of people in a lot of the system will bill for bipolar 1, bipolar 2. But I'm going to be honest with you. It did not fit how I feel and how I felt. My mood doesn't fluctuate all year long, every day, every week. There's a certain grief period that I go to when my mother passed away from my middle school, eighth grade culmination to the start of high school. So in the summer when it's really hot, in between Mother's Day till about the day she died, I'm emotionally vulnerable and volatile. So I have cyclothymic disorder. And I received that diagnosis from a Black psychiatrist in Brentwood, between Santa Monica and Brentwood, Soraya Bacchus. So I went to the best Black psychiatrist woman who I could find, and I found a provider who could see and hear me and we found a diagnosis and a medication regimen that better fit how I felt and how I felt comfortable. That was before I was at Kaiser. And I
thank you so much.
I got a second opinion, pretty much. And then once I got that second opinion outside of Kaiser, I came with paperwork from Dr. Bacchus's office, Soroya Bacchus, and then I went back to Kaiser and was like, this is what I have. So I use Kaiser as a tool, kind of like a Jiffy Lube. You already got the car and you got to pull up for the oil change and you have to tell them what you want and what you need. But they weren't in the Kaiser system. They weren't able to properly diagnose or evaluate me because they don't see or hear me the way that I need to be seen and heard. But yeah.
Well,
so yeah, that's a big thing. So I do have a disability.
And so yep. I want you to go ahead further on with the story about what transpired and what took place. Go right ahead.
Oh, of course.
Take your time.
Thank you. So the big thing I was going to say is at the core of everything, I am mind, body, and spirit. At the core of my belief, I am the flesh and I am spirit. And I'm spirit with God. And when my flesh is not well, it dampers and blocks me in my spirit from praising the Lord. So I am very one with God. Even through all my disability, even if I have suicidal ideations, I'm sorry if this is a trigger for anyone, or homicidal ideations, I know I will never hurt myself or hurt anyone because I believe in the God in me and the God in someone else. Can't hurt the God in me and the God in someone else. But even though that is my strong belief that I would never slain myself or someone, if I get to that point that I'm thinking about it, I know I'm not okay. And it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be well. What's not okay is injustice in the healthcare system that blocks me from becoming and staying well because I can't recover. I can't maintain my health, my wealth, my wellness if I can't get the care I need. And here's my story. So I, like I said, it was my birthday weekend. My middle name is Valentina because I'm born on Valentine's Day, February 14th, 1991, born at Kaiser Cadillac in an emergency C-section. My mother and father, Regina Orr and Reginald LeBold, were there during my birth. It's important for me to mention my mother and father's name because they are both deceased. So I'm a black orphan. I'm raised by my grandmother, Ruby Patterson, my family, Monte Cassandra, who's on the call, Monte Cassandra Romero. And my family took me into their arms, but I don't have the unconditional, undivided, godly support of my parents on earth, their ancestors at this point. And I believe that they passed away due to racism and the lack of care at Kaiser as well, because Kaiser is supposed to have case management. It's a whole healthcare system that didn't support my family. My nuclear, my family. So I still use Kaiser. And people are like, well, why would you still use Kaiser? I just want to say this disclaimer. I am on Medi-Cal. Kaiser is my option because it's the only option I have. And it's the best option I can get as a poor black woman in America. So I have to use Kaiser because that's what I have as a tool, as a resource. And they're supposed to be my healthcare system. And I get the best doctors within the system, but the system is broken itself, and this is the issue. So I'll call anyone if I'm in help. I even called 911 because I didn't know if I could walk or on my foot because it really started to swell up, and I didn't know if I had tetanus, I didn't know if I had sepsis. And I didn't know if I had venom, like if I had stepped on a spider or something. But I felt really weak. I didn't feel good, and my mental was being disturbed. So I was calling different hotlines to try to get the right resource because I've been hurt in the system before. So I had to make sure that I had the right resource for myself. So I ended up calling the Kaiser after hours. So if you have Kaiser Permanente, they give you an app, and you can go to kp.org on the app. So I found the right number. I do a lot of research. I found the right number. I call in, and then I get transferred. I got transferred to a woman who wasn't culturally humble, humility, and she wasn't culturally competent. when I told her the issues I was having, she didn't even ask me what foot I had an ailment on. And this is a big term, but it's called mental health parity, which basically means in the healthcare system, they treat mental health, the mind, separate from the body. And Kaiser does that in the net. And even on your kp.org, I can't look at the psychiatry notes all the time, or my medical doctor can't see the psychiatry notes. So that's very important. Even though your neck and your spinal cord and everything is connected from your brainstem, it means that it's a separate number, it's a separate system, it's a separate hotline when you call for mental mm-hmm. health versus when you call for a physical ailment. But if you are triggered, if you trigger a protocol within the system, they're only going to focus on the mental health issue. Even if I kept saying, I'm not suicidal, I'm not homicidal, I'm calling because I'm lacking sleep because I'm in pain, they did not heed my physical pain remark. So what happened was this lady, I ended up having to ask for a supervisor, and then I asked for an Egyptian interpreter, because they don't even mm-hmm. have interpreters for black people. Like, if I'm a black American, I speak black from my hood, from my street. I speak southern from my grandma. I have a twang in my voice. And we have to code switch as black people. But when I'm sick, I don't need to code switch. I don't need to say and speak proper. I don't feel well. So, but if you call in the Kaiser right now, it's going to speak to you in Spanish and English. But they don't have an option if I am a black person and I need an extra person on the line because I don't feel safe and I don't trust the system. So I'm smart enough to know if I ask for an African interpreter, I'm most likely going to get a black person or an African person on the call, African American. So I tried.
Okay.
It was a Hail Mary. It was a Hail Mary because I needed a third person on the call because this white woman, I can hear the very velvety voice and attenuate my ear to know if I'm talking to someone who is of my own culture and my own community versus someone who isn't hearing me, isn't listening to me, whether they be white, Chinese, any other race beyond black. And even within the black community, some people are shackled within the system. But I can tell someone's right. compassion in someone's heart. So the lady didn't have any compassion. I wasn't getting compassionate care, so I asked for her supervisor. I spoke to this woman named Erica, and it's on call, and I spoke with her for an hour as I elevated my foot, and she was a nurse, and I was explaining to her what foot it was. So after talking to the supervisor on the after-hours call, it was 3 o'clock in the morning on February 15th, she gave me an appointment for 10:30. She told me, take a nap and drive yourself to Kaiser. Because I wasn't going to go on an ambulance and I wasn't going to try to call 911 and have them come out. It was going to, don't want that stress because I don't trust LAPD because my father was killed by LAPD. And I had watched it on the news at the age of 10. So I don't trust LAPD.
Excuse me for interrupting you for a second. You know, and this is an amazing story, but in the essence of time, I want you to cut to what happened, and then I'm going to have Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, are you there? Our co-producer, Clarence M. Allen, are you there?
Yes, I'm listening, Pastor Eddie.
I'm going to have to cut out because I got to do a couple of things, but you are co-producing the show, you and Professor Reams. And Vera, so please take the floor, and I will be on the show, but I'm going to be listening. And Gina, you go right ahead with your story. Please take the floor, and let's cut to the chase on what happened so we can get some comments from some of the co-producers and other people who might want to call into the show and say something to you, okay?
Okay, no worries. Yeah, so I was
all right, God bless you. Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, and thank you for your time and the great introduction. I really appreciate you, Pastor Eddie Jones. So
very welcome,
basically, I wanted to let you guys know that I went to the Kaiser compound at Kaiser Cadillac off of Venice and Cadillac because I had an appointment with a doctor. Come to find out, when I drove myself and I had my dog with me, the appointment was for the 16th, and I had arrived on the 15th. And then that's when things didn't go well because I was there. They didn't have an appointment. They couldn't get me a new appointment that day. So I was like, well, can somebody will me? Because I had put compression socks on my feet, so I could barely walk. And I was like, can somebody will me to urgent care? They said they didn't have a volunteer. So they only could wheel me back to my car. At that point, I started crying, and I was in distress because of my mental health and the pain I was in. I started having a panic attack, and I had to drive on the compound. I could have killed someone with my car in distress or not find a parking spot, and all this ended up me parking in the handicapped spot at the emergency room department. So I parked in the emergency room, and there was a black nurse. I believe her name was Lisa. There's a black nurse there who checked me in, and once I got wheeled back with my dog, that's when things got wild. I had got an x-ray, and when I saw the doctor, it was a Chinese doctor, Dr. Liu, and he said there's nothing on the, excuse me, Pastor Eddie Jones, I think you're not on.
No, no, you go right ahead, Gina, I apologize, you go right ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. So this is what happened. It was a cultural clash that affected my care, thus leading to malpractice, an issue of Human Rights, Disability Act, and Civil Rights, and a race relation issue. Because I walked in, I got the x-ray, I got checked in. When there was nothing on my x-ray, he wanted to discharge me. Without looking at my foot, without taking my sock off, without assessing the wound, without assessing if I had tetanus, without assessing if I was septic, without taking a blood test to see if I was infected. I'm a scientist. I majored in neuroscience and behavior. I've worked in clinical trials. I've seen cancer on the screen. I know what quality of care and personalized medicine can do with the right attention and money. Because I'm a poor black woman with a dog and there's nothing on an x-ray that was a poor copy and grainy, he was just going to discharge me with some Tylenol, and I refused. So I pushed back and I advocated for myself. I was like, no, I'm in pain. You need to look at my foot. You need to debrief it. That's the word I used because I didn't use the right word. I used debrief. And then he said three racist things. One racist thing was, if you were my son or my daughter, I would leave it in your foot. That's a cultural clash because I'm Southern. We burn a needle and get whatever, a thorn, a splinter out of you. We don't leave things in our body that aren't well. So that was a cultural clash. That was number one. Number two, he corrected my English in the words. I said debrief. He knew what I meant. So he said, do you mean debris? So if you need to get something out of your foot or out of your body and you need them to use a needle or a scalpel, you have to use the word debriding, D-E-B-R-I-D, debride. So, yes, and I confirmed with him, yes, I need you to debride the wound because there's something in it. And he was like, that can cause more damage. I was like, no, it will cause relief because there's something in my foot. So then he went to go get a needle. He went to go get a scalpel. They tried to turn on the light inside the room. The light didn't work, so they ended up using my cell phone light. And then when I was asking questions, he wasn't communicating as he was looking at my foot. He didn't put any Benadryl. He didn't check to see if I had tetanus. My tetanus shot was up to date. And then when he got it out, he said there was a black thing inside of my wound, like a small black speck that he was getting out. I lifted my foot. I had to be on my belly for him to work on my foot. When I lifted my foot, he was like, "Aye!" And when he did that, I was like, I need to file a complaint because you weren't treating me properly based on the color of my skin. And once I said that, they detained me, and they kept me on a 1719, which is not a 5150, meaning that they kept me on a hold. So certain protocols, and this is what I want to teach my people, is that certain words, I'm not telling you not to say your truth, but within the system currently, as it is, if you express any agitation, anything that they dub as non-normal, and that's just being black, to be real with you, but if you display any behavior that threatens them and makes them fearful of you, then they will put you on a hold to save yourself for you. And that is the issue that I face. I was on a 1719 hold in the emergency room department of Kaiser Cadillac because I said I wanted to file a complaint. And I did not file my complaint that day because they put me on a psychiatric hold in the hospital until
Gina,
I was evaluated by a psychiatrist. Oh, yes.
Hi, Gina. This is Clarence Allen. I want to jump a little bit forward here because we see that you were treated differently because of the color of your skin. It seems it appears that they taken advantage of you because they didn't like the way you were expressing yourself. Yes.
Brother Clarence, I want everybody on Facebook Live to know I'm going off of Facebook Live right now. I'm glad you guys came on Instagram and Facebook Live, but I got to go take care of something. So Clarence Mallon is going to be, along with Professor Renz and Vera Jones, will be producing our show today. I love you guys very much. Gloria Majors, Elaine Cosley, and everybody on Facebook Live, you can call into the show at 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. Okay? God bless you guys. And go ahead and take the floor, Brother Clarence, and I will be listening.
Yes, thank you,
thank
Pat Shetty.
So love you, too. Thank you, thank you.
Yes, Gina, yes. I want to jump a little farther ahead because you have a Chihuahua, a service dog, Tina.
Yes.
Louise, I believe her name was, cutest little dog. And
Tina,
she's your service dog, your comforter. And your dog was taken away. And this is the dog that keeps you normal, keeps you stable. Your dog comforts you and provides love and care to you. Can you get into what happened to your dog also? Because we see the discrimination, oppression, and the difference and indifference what you were given over at Kaiser on Cadillac.
Yes, exactly. So that's true. So I did have my dog with me, Tina Lucy LeBeau, and I got Tina for my health. Actually, I got her at the laundromat, and I rescued her. But she really rescued me in my mental health because she has a heart murmur, and she's been tested by the cardiologist, and she is confirmed to have a grade 6 heart murmur, but she has a very strong heartbeat. And because she has a very strong heartbeat, it calms me down. And she has medication that she takes, and she's very delicate. So I keep her, and she just falls asleep on my lap, and then I have to be very quiet around her to not stress her out because I don't want anything to happen to her heart because she has a disability too. We both have disabilities. So I take her, and I can't leave. It was hot that day, so I can't leave her at home, and I can't leave her in the car, so I brought her with me. I have a letter from Dr. Zubenbuehler, my psychiatrist at Kaiser, so I could travel with her and keep her with me. And I have a letter. I had a formal letter from my previous psychiatrist that I mentioned, Dr. Soraya Bacchus. So I have a letter that I can have her with me and that I need a service animal based on the Disabilities Act. So I had her with me, and then I told them that I have a letter. They didn't look it up. Then they just started to – they just detained me. They made me feel like a criminal. And I don't want to bother people's ears, but I felt like the N-word. Like they treated me very derogatory. They were making fun of me. In my medical record, they said that I was bizarre or I had bizarre behavior. That's not a medical term. You don't call someone bizarre because bizarre means I'm acting weird for their amusement and their interest. And that wasn't the case. As soon as I said I wanted to file a complaint, that's what happened. But this is the real background story. So, Tina, you're in the emergency room. It's also COVID, so let's acknowledge the pain and loss of the pandemic and the collective trauma of the pandemic, which also is scary to be in the emergency room because I can go in for a thorn and end up with a lung infection. So everyone's heightened and everyone's stressed. I acknowledge that. But when I knew I was going to be, they started moving me from room to room. So I started off in one room where they got the thorn out of my foot. And then I went to another room to talk to a doctor, and I was like, why am I switching doctors? What are your credentials? Where did you board? Like, who are you? I tried to question the doctor about who are you, like, why am I talking to you? And then he was like, you're going to be on hold. So he got offended. The second doctor got offended that I asked him where did he do his board exams and what kind of doctor. I was trying to ask, like, are you the psychiatrist? Like, who are you? Why am I talking to you? Because at that point, I had a social worker, the social worker at the time, Melissa Atia. The social worker was Egyptian. And I learned, based on this experience, when I said I asked for an Egyptian interpreter, I learned one word, and I'm going to learn fluent Egyptian now, but it's called shakram, which means thank you. So because I've triggered, I speak Egyptian in the system, they give me Egyptian providers. And that, and they're very calm, and Egyptian people are very calm, very beautiful people. And I feel very safe when I have an Egyptian provider. So I had an Egyptian psychiatric social worker, because that they have social workers inside the emergency department. So when I knew I was being wheeled away to the psych ward of the emergency department, where they lock you in a room, they make you strip down your clothes, take away all your jewelry, take away all your possessions, I knew they were going to take away my dog. So I still had my phone. I wasn't on the hold yet. And you don't sign away your rights. You can't say, I don't want this care. They literally hold you against your will inside the department of the emergency room in the Kaiser Cadillac. I FaceTimed my grandma, and thank God she answered.
Gina, yeah. To all of our listeners, they might have kind of missed something that you alluded to, that they stripped you until you were nude, you were naked. Is that correct?
Yeah, so when you are on the hold, you can't have your clothes, because they could have strings on them. They think you're suicidal. They're going to assess you to see if you're suicidal or homicidal. Are you a danger to yourself or others? That's the thing. Like, if you say, oh, I'm so mad, I want to hurt that person. If you say that in the hospital, they could put you on a hold. Or if you're actually upset and they won't ask you, why do you feel that way? This is the problem in the healthcare system. They don't say, why do you feel this way? What triggered it? What's happening at home? They just say, extinguisher on you, put you on a hold against your will to protect you from yourself, to protect us from a lawsuit, because they don't want you to die on site. So they
Gina,
take away your clothes.
Gina, this is Pastor Jones. Excuse me, you guys.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me for the listeners, what I'm hearing here, and tell me if I'm hearing this right, you too, Brother Clarence, you too, Professor Reams, who is our real professor, and you too, Vera Jones. I'm hearing that because you wanted to file a complaint, because you were upset with the care that they gave you, once you wanted to file a complaint, they wanted to put you on a hold because you wanted to file a complaint. Is that what I'm hearing here?
Correct. And they never took my complaint that day. And then,
this is what I want to tell you guys
on the low, and this is what happened. There were donors and there was a big group of white people. There's a big group of white people walking from ward to ward in the hospital that day. And they may have been on their way to where I was when I initially got the thorn. Because by the time I was in the psychiatric ward, it was donors or the president or some administration of Kaiser was doing rounds that day. Because in my video, they had the door open before I was talking to the security guards. They were communicating with me. As soon as those people showed up, everybody had to suit up, make sure they were ship-shape shape, put on their uniform jackets. They closed me in the room, and they locked me away because they had something going on that day. And that also affected my care, because this is what happened. I went to the bathroom because now they didn't even give me the full set of scrubs. It was a paper scrub with a shirt and no bottom. And they knew they were going to take my dog away. So I FaceTimed my grandma, and my Uncle Michael was rushing to the hospital to get my dog out of security. And my dog got so upset, she shit herself. She defecated all over her clothes that I had dressed her in to visit the doctor. But this is what happened. I went to the bathroom during that hold.
Excuse me.
And then,
hold on, Gina.
This is important.
Gina,
I have to finish this thought.
Wait, Gina, hold on 1 second. Can we work on not using foul language on the show, please?
I can work on. I'm sorry. I apologize. But I'm just
Thank
still
you.
Upset. I'm upset.
I understand.
I apologize.
Go right ahead.
I didn't use the N-word.
But after you finish this statement, we're going to go into some questions and answers, and Clarence M. Allen and the Professor Reams will either make a statement or ask you a question. So go right ahead and give us your closing on this particular topic.
Oh, the closing thing that I have to say, and it's on the same topic, and I apologize for anyone listening. I did curse. I understand. Apologize. But I am very upset because they could have killed my dog because she has a great sick heart murmur. And that was the fear I had in my heart, that my dog was going to die because I wanted better for myself. But my last thing I want to say is when I walked out of the bathroom in scrubs without my dog and naked in paper scrubs without the clothes I walked in on, and I had my Black History dress on that my sister had bought me from Target that said, I am Black History, and they made me strip off my Black History shirt. When I was walking back, one of the women in that big group of people said, what can we do to treat patients better at Kaiser? And I said, treat Black people better. And a Black doctor laughed at my comment, and I had to go back and be locked away in the room until I was evaluated by the psychiatrist who ultimately released me. So I was at Kaiser from 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., but I wasn't held for 3 days, which is better than nothing. But it was very traumatic for
me.
Thank you.
Okay, so Gina, tell everybody the name of your mental disability and define it for us one more time, please.
So I, just like people are autistic, autism has a spectrum. So people know the autism spectrum. Bipolar disorder has a spectrum, and people may not have severity in bipolar. So I don't have bipolar 1 or bipolar 2. I have cyclothymia, and it's a cyclothymic disorder, which means my mood will fluctuate on a cycle. But the cycle that I've identified through therapy and through inner work and through God is the summer my mother died. I don't feel well during the summer. Sometimes, and then I get triggered on certain days, like my mother's birthday, my mother's death day. But from Mother's Day until my mother died, I usually have an episode or I have to go to the hospital.
Now, Gina, with that being said right there, we're going to take the floor and we remember what you defined, your mental disability and your mental disorder. I want to say personally, I apologize that your dog was taken from you because I want to be honest with you. If you were a female Caucasian, they would not have ever taken your service dog. I can tell you that right now because they know that the service dog is to help you deal with your disorder and your disability. So that was wrong right there. Disrobing you and not giving you the proper things to put on, just the top with no bottom, that is absurd. And then to talk to you in a manner that's not pleasing to you at any time when you're going there for help and you got to pay your insurance to get some help, that's wrong as well. Nobody should be laughing because you have a mental disorder. And a lot of people don't know this, but I'm going to just say it loud and clear. Kaiser just had a thing that they just recently covered up. And I'm not going to elaborate on it, but they know what it is. And who's ever listening from Kaiser knows what it is too. And that should have been on the news, and it wasn't on the news. And I'll just say this. Somebody lost their life at Kaiser and because they felt that they weren't treated fairly. So that could have happened to you. Thank God it didn't. But with that being said, Clarence Tim Allen, take the floor. What do you want to say about what our dear sister Gina has been through? Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Eddie. Once again, thank you, Gina, for coming on the show and bringing light to a matter that many people don't know about, haven't heard. And we need to bring light to the discriminations, to the civil violations, the human violations of just our humanity as a people, period. And Friday, I pulled up on the corner of Cadillac and Venice, and I seen Pastor Ed, I seen Gina, I seen another young man, Curtis, and several other people. And we were out there to protest the discrimination and the difference of service that she got at Kaiser Permanente. And while we were out there protesting and we were broadcasting on social media outlets, on Facebook, on Instagram, we were live. And if you come across it, please share it. because this is just one instance out of maybe thousands of instances of what goes on in the medical industry on the racial biases, the racial bigotry that we, many of us, experience when we go into a hospital as a United States citizen for health care. When we were out there, we noticed they send one of their employees, a white woman came out, and so she was hiding like behind the utility box, the telephone box or the light box that controlled the lights at the corner, and it appears that at first she was taping us and paying attention to what we were doing. And so once we put our attention to her, she started to back up, step away, and said, "You cannot tape me," and all this stuff, as if she was just standing there but not paying attention. And so Kaiser is aware of this situation.
One moment. I just want to be clear. When we asked her, what's she doing, the white woman proclaimed, "Oh, I'm securing the premises." And she was basically in like regular office attire with a necklace on, and they have security on site. So what was she really securing?
Yes, she appeared to be dressed as she was a medical staff and not
administrator.
A security. Yes, she appeared to be dressed as an administrator and not as a security personnel. And so we know that she was lying, and she eventually left the scene after a while, after we exposed her and put her on social media, because when you're out in public, anybody can film whatever you're doing. You know, you're out on the sidewalk. This is public entity. And so, you know, this is a great important situation that Pastor Eddie brought you onto the show to get you to expose the discrimination at Kaiser. Listening to you made me think of Henrietta Lacks. You know, Henrietta Lacks, they taken cells from her, and she had a rare gene in her cells that never died. They continued to reproduce, and they used her cells for science for, they claim, to discover cures for different sickness and illnesses. So that's what came to my mind. But I'm going to call in Professor Reams and let him bring his comment or questions in. And Professor Reams, do you have anything you'd like to say or question Gina with this situation?
Yes, thank you, Clarence, the regulator. No, I just want to comment that the good Lord works with all of us, and you are at the right spot at the right time. Because it's important that things that have been hidden, that have been closed away, now be fully exposed in the community. And it's one of those circumstances where it's going to start here, and then it's going to grow and grow and grow. And my hope is that, but I do have the question, have you filed filed against them as of yet? Because, of course, it is also a case of retaliation, which is also not can be a felony depending on what the rules and regulations are, because you were retaliated, you were humiliated, and then even though they gave work to you, it's just the difference in treatment, as Clarence has mentioned, as it relates back to even the Willie Lynch memo, where it was saying that we'll do everything we can to keep them from being prosper, even when it comes to health care. So, have you filed your complaint yet?
Yes, sir. I filed my complaint. So that happened Tuesday, February 15th, and I filed my complaint that Monday, a formal complaint.
Okay. Now, will they have...
It escalated. I'm supposed to have a case manager. I filed it within the Kaiser system, but I did as a formal grievance. So, yes, I have I have the grievance number. If you can't get it offline, or I can put it on the air, I don't care.
And then once you have filed it, then are they going to have a hearing or something, or are they going to bring you in to discussion?
I'm supposed to receive a letter. I'm happy you educated me that it was retaliation. I didn't think about that because that's a different protocol within within the system. Thank you for that. Let me write that down, actually, because I'm learning on the call because I'm seeking help and advice.
Yes.
Because I told them that they basically – I told them about the race issue. And then come to find out, it's also a woman's issue because I also expressed that within the department that I had to use the bathroom. So I started having a stress response. I had to use the bathroom. And I wanted a urinalysis to make sure I didn't have any STDs or STIs. It's a woman's issue.
Uh-huh.
And I gave a sample, and they never ran. So I gave a sample – they never ran it. They never even gave me I don't even have a hospital band from that day. They tried to take my blood, and I refused because I wasn't going to give them my blood. But I did give them a urine sample that they must have discarded. Come to find out a week later when we did that press conference, I had a yeast infection. It's a woman's issue. So my health I didn't get quality care. I didn't even get full care. But an issue that would have been detected that day on the 15th did not get resolved, and I did not take medicine until the 25th, 10 days later, and I was in extreme pain and discomfort. So you're right.
Tongue
malpractice.
Yes,
but I just want to say it is malpractice. That should be included. I'm going to take a note of this. Thank you so much, Professor.
You're quite
go ahead,
welcome.
Pastor Eddie.
Gina, I want everybody to know I'm sending out a disclosure. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights, and we all need to exercise our rights. Just because we have a guest on, that doesn't mean that whatever the guest says, that's our normal way of discussing things on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. But I do give people the freedom of speech to share their views, and we're dealing with a very sensitive situation here, so this is not your normal show today. So thank you for listening, and thank you for hearing out, because mental health, it should not be a stigma on mental health. And human beings, whether they have a mental disability, bipolar syndrome, paranoid schizophrenia, whatever it might be, they still are human beings, and they have human rights, civil rights, and constitutional rights, and their rights need to be exercised by any means necessary. And I'm going to go back on hold. Clarence, take back the floor. Professor Reins and Vera, you guys are doing a phenomenal job on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Go right ahead.
Yes, I want to read something that I looked up, and I found psychosomatic disorder. And I believe this is a part of what Gina is explaining to us.
But yeah, psychophrenia, psychosomatic, yeah. Exactly.
Yes, and here it reads, it's a psychological condition involving the occurrence of physical symptoms. And this is what she explained, Gina, our guest explained, usually lacking a medical explanation. And you go back to the beginning and the top of our show, this is where she went to a black doctor to get this specific diagnosis that she couldn't get anywhere else. People with this condition may have excessive thoughts, feelings, or concern about the symptoms, which affects their ability to function well. And throughout the show, Gina has explained this very clearly, very thoroughly, where we can get it, especially understanding even more with the information I just read. And so now we want to go over to Vera Jones and get your concerns, Vera. Do you have any comments, concerns, or questions that you'd like to put forth to Gina, Vera Jones?
Okay, sure, Clarence. Well, first of all, Gina, I want to say that, I feel saddened that you had to go through this disorder. And with you sharing the story is some insights that other people may have experienced, but those that are given a service dog, they're given a service dog because these dogs are trained. And as they say, they are man and woman's best friend. And, you know, dogs are loyal and they're loving to us no matter what. So with you experiencing having to be wherever you were in your room or outside to go to the restroom with no bottom, did the other employees have on bottoms? Did the other patients have on bottoms? Why were you only giving a top? And then I wanted to find out, did they ever give you a bottom?
So yes. So when they initially, the nurse that I had on staff was very crass and very rude. He talked to me like I was mentally challenged, not with a mental disability. So I'm a very educated, articulate woman, and I'm very high functioning. So when he gave me the paper, I am very intelligent. I am very high functioning. So when he gave me the scrub, and I was wearing a yellow I Am Black History shirt. So it was Black History Month. My sister just bought me this new shirt dress. So I was wearing this dress. He handed it to me, and I was like, I'm not changing into that. And then as soon as I started resisting, because now, like you said, it was retaliation. I didn't even think about that. But as soon as I started saying, like, why am I changing, and I started questioning the system, then I become non-compliant in their protocol. So that it started to escalate, and he started to escalate. So he originally, but all the Black staff knew what was happening. All the Black security guards knew what was happening. And then the social worker knew what was happening, and they knew it was wrong. So then they calmed me down and say that you just have to do this until you can talk to the doctor, and then they'll let you go. But you have to be compliant. So once that happened and they looked at the paper, they're like, just change really quick. We're going to make sure you don't lose any of your stuff. I promise you. That's what the sweet Black girl with braids told me, because I was about to freak out. I was really about to freak out, especially with my disorder. I get high anxiety and I get high rage and anger, especially when there's an injustice to me or my body. And then my dog is with me and they're about to take my dog away from me. And then I have cognitive, it's a big word, a cognitive distortion. So it's black or white thinking where I'm like, if they take this dog away from me, she's going to die. So now you've triggered this mama bear in me. And I was about to scream really, really loud. And they're like, no. It's going to be worse for you. It's going to be, they didn't put the nurse in check. They checked me. And then they gave me a bottom.
Gina, excuse me, this is Pastor Jones.
I did get a bottom.
All right, good. Gina, hold that thought for a second. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Again, to all the listeners on the show, this is not our normal show. We're talking about a very serious thing called mental illness. And just here recently, we lost Chrisley Christie. And we also lost Regina, the actress, I think it's Regina Hill. Is it Regina Hill? The actress that lost her son recently?
Yes, we sure did.
Yeah,
she committed suicide,
yeah.
And we talked
Regina
about
King.
The...
Yeah, she committed suicide. Right.
Yes,
Regina
and we
King.
Talked about the model.
I get that right. Yes, and so that's why it's so important for us to love on each other and to help each other understand whatever it might be. It's not too big for God, and that it can be worked out, it can be handled, and it can be fixed. But if we don't talk about it, we don't know, and if we don't know, we can't do anything about it. Those are the two important things. We have to know about it, and we have to talk about it, and then we need to take some action. And then we need to find some solutions to these problems, because everyone that goes into a hospital facility, no matter what hospital it is, they should be treated with dignity, integrity, and respect and honor at all times. And there should always be professionalism within the hospital facility, no matter where it is. So with that being said, we have Linda Goldie on the show. Linda Goldie, good morning, Linda Goldie. How are you?
Good morning. I am just... this information is just too awful. It's just too awful.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Everybody say good morning to Linda Goldie.
Good morning, Miss Linda.
Good morning, Linda Goldie.
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning, Linda.
Good
morning,
Miss Linda.
Linda
Goldie.
Linda means beautiful in Spanish. Good morning, beautiful.
Good morning.
And would that be would that be a sin, Linda? Go right ahead, Linda.
I'm just so grieved to hear about one more thing that has to do with you know, people being oppressed to the degree. My question is, do you still have the dog? What happened to the dog?
Yes. So I am wise beyond my years. I'm 31 years old. When I knew stuff was going down, I used the word stuff, I had my cell phone with me. So I had FaceTimed my grandmother, and by the grace of God, my Uncle Michael was home with her, and my Uncle Michael rushed to Kaiser Cadillac. So they physically took the dog out of my room and out of my possession. The security guards did, but they relinquished her by my request and coordination. They weren't about to call my emergency contact or anything. They relinquished her to my Uncle Michael, and I had to kiss her goodbye.
Well, thank you so much for sharing it with us. Now, with that being said, Linda, we need some poetry right now. We need a segment on our show called Poetry in Motion, and it's by Linda, who's calling all the way from Oregon, the state of Oregon. And, Linda, go right ahead, take the floor, give us some poetry. Let's cool it down, and we'll come right back to it. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Go ahead, Linda Goldie.
Well, this is something I wrote the other day that I thought was slightly humorous. So it's called Done It Myself. How much stuff will be enough for every situation? You cannot know ahead of time, so spend with hesitation on every gadget that you see that could have use expectantly. Some simple tools and hardware might just be enough. Why should you fight a heap of stuff till late at night to find directions for their use? Just because your screw is loose? Why not ask the Lord to show what you need and where to go and how to use it when you find it? I'm sure that he won't mind it. So, anyway, it was my vain attempt at humor for my obsessive compulsive.
I love it.
Well, thank you so much. Let's give Linda a big hand for that nice poem. Let's give her a big hand. Well, with that being said, Clarence and Malin, has everybody weighed in on everything, Clarence, or is there someone else you want to go back to share some?
The one thing that I like to say, and then we'll get just some closing remarks from Gina, and we want you, Gina, to stay on the show for the entirety because we have another topic, and then we have our regular segments, which we all share our own specialty. The one thing that we didn't quite mention was a young man, Curtis, that was also out there that he was mistreated by Kaiser. He had a broken arm, which he says that they failed to diagnose and treat and cast or x-ray and all that with his arm. So Gina's situation wasn't the only exclusive, unique situation out there Friday morning when we were out there at Kaiser in West L.A. on Cadillac. This young man, Curtis, handsome, beautiful young man, beautiful heart, beautiful personality, another person of color, another black man, went to Kaiser to seek treatment, and he didn't get the quality of care or care at all that he went there to get for a broken arm. And so, Gina, now we just want to get just a few minutes. If you have anything else you'd like to say, and then we're going to go to our next subject title, topic. And so, Gina, give us a couple of minutes of what you'd like to close out with.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, yes, we can hear you.
Go right ahead.
Okay, just wanted to make
sure. Go right ahead.
So I'm going to leave you with three deep reflections that I have. And they're kind of questions. I want to throw it back at the experts. And these are the three things I want to say. And then I have the poetry reminded me of something that I have poignantly wrote in my heart. So I'll say that as my last final thought. So deep reflection number one, is mental health for a Black woman a punishment to learn compliance in a society not designed for her to thrive, or a wellness journey of betterment to learn emotional tolerance and healing? Number two, where are sanctuary places and spaces to not be okay for the Black community? Number three, and this goes with the poem in my final thought, it takes as many hours, days, and interventions as it takes to get the energy, clarity, and strength to live. And the last point is, does insanity equate to no humanity? Thank you.
Wow.
Let's get Gina.
Professor Rains.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, let's give her a hand. Oh, my God. Now, I want everybody to know that Professor Reams he's a professor of social justice, a professor of music, and a professor of a lot of different things. He's a great, wonderful professor, very astute and intellectual and intelligent on the subject matters of social justice and social society. So without further ado, Professor Reams, please take the floor, and if you could respond to her questions, that would be completely amazing. Go right ahead.
So one of the things that we're looking at is the idea of how the system has been created. And the problem and the issue that's always prevailed is that every system that has been put forth has not been for African Americans, and that we have made it in spite of the system in itself because of, as Gina mentioned, because she follows the Lord and because we've been able to overcome, which is why Black History Month is always a reminder that we're making a system work that wasn't made for us in the first place. So in looking at how she's broken down everything, dealing with the idea of compliance and emotional tolerance, every system that we've encountered was built in order for us to be dominated over, and also for the ultimate thing of making sure that we weren't a threat in the society. So the healthcare situation is no different than any other structure. That's why when we talk about the racism that's institutional, this is how it epitomizes itself, where the person is given license to be able to treat you any old way because you're not of that race. So the dichotomy that you share with each between insanity but also equality and also the idea is still fold. You and Martin Luther King and everyone who's gone before us and coming in front of us are faced with this challenge of making a system otherwise not for us, better for us, that it works for us in an equal way of respect and of equality, as well as we journey forward, better it so that these things do not happen again moving forward. But we're faced with the specter of folks who are so happy with their power that they're using these institutions to be able to inflict pain and harm. That's why you and the protests that are going to come and also the insurrection that's going to come to resolve this issue is right in line of what we've done in the past, from marching to protesting to prayer and more marching, more protesting, doing class action suits, doing this, and that making sure that this does not happen in this sector. So I would say watch out, Kaiser Cadillac, because this is a new day coming, and the lines have been drawn, and hopefully you'll be on the right side of correcting this issue. So, yes, you have hit every touchstone, and so that's why adding in retaliation and also wrongful treatment as part of malpractice because of negligence, and the attitudes are there, will be flushed out so that we fix this system so that everyone can benefit. I yield back to you, Clarence, and Pastor Jones.
Professor Reams, let's give Professor Reams a hand.
Woo! That was a perfect response. Thank you.
Gina, we'd like you to stay in studio with us. We're going to go on our second topic. And our second topic is World War III. Is it really here or will we have peace? And we're moving over to the subject, what's going on over in Far Eastern Europe, over in the Ukraine and the surrounding countries. Putin has decided to invade Ukraine with his military army, and over 300 people have lost their lives in Ukraine, up to at least 16 children. We see the masses of hundreds of thousands of people exiting, migrating out of the country, crossing the border into Poland and surrounding countries, and this is a humanitarian disaster. You know, we're looking at rockets. We're looking at tanks. We're looking at the infantry. But the Ukrainians are very persistent with their resistance. They're standing. I was looking at the news where you have a boxer, Ukrainian boxer, went to join the Ukrainian military. I don't remember his name, but he was a guest on Dancing with the Stars. He's in Ukraine. They was talking about two professional athlete brothers. I can't think of their name, but they joined the military. And, you know, when we're looking at this, we're looking at the European Union, we're looking at NATO, we're looking at the United States, Canada, you name it. Many countries are involved with stopping Russia from invading. Well, they have invaded, but to get them to turn around and go back home, should Putin be held as a war criminal? You know, in my personal mind, he should be. You know, when I look at life, when I look at the afterlife, and I look at God, and we talk about heaven and hell. Will this guy be going to hell? Do they know about hell? Is hell real? So there are so many questions that we can just pop up because, like Vera said early in our show when we were giving our condolences to a couple of families whose son's life has been lost, she said nobody has been to the other side. And then there's also a story in the Bible where a man died and went to the other side, and this rich man, he also went, and they both got to experience the other side, and the rich man wanted to come back and explain and witness that there is a hell and there is a heaven. And so when we look at all this, the invasion of Ukraine, we're looking at these armies, we're looking at supplies and sanctions, and the oligarchs are now going against Putin. Is this the beginning of World War III? Or will we have peace? And I want to go to Vera Jones first and get your input on this subject matter, because this is right now. This is real. It's affecting us at the gas pump. It's affecting us at the grocery store. It's going to affect us in every avenue of our expenditures, because war costs, it affects the world. So Vera Jones, and then I'm going to go to our guest, and then I'll go to Linda Goldie. So Vera Jones, give us your insight on this topic, World War III. Is it really here, or will we have peace?
Well, Clarence, I feel that we are experiencing some types of World War III, because just remember back many, many, many years before we were born, World War I and II, when they went through different pandemics as we're experiencing at the moment, and we have changed. Everything is swiftly changing, and some things will never remain the same. So, yes, we are beginning. However, we're going to keep prayer out there, and we must practice more love. because love conquers more than anything here on this planet.
Amen. I agree. I was born on the day of love. You got to love it away. And
amen.
I'll be honest with you, I have,
amen.
I might have a controversial comment, but that's white on white crime.
Well, come on in, Gina. Let me ask you a question. World War III, is it really here or will we have peace? Give us your input.
No, that was my comment. They always talk about black on black crime. That's white on white crime. That's not my problem. My problem is my people. And it's distracting from the domestic issues that we have at play right now. And it's making domestic hardship even harder after the pandemic. That's not our business. We need to stay home. That's their business.
Well, let me ask you this question. Let's say, for instance, Russia became successful, took over the Ukraine, and then he would be right next to the European Union right there, right next to those NATO countries, where that thin line that's called the border. And then when we look at World War II, what Hitler did, he almost took over the world. This could be the beginning of that. And if that war expounded over the period of time, say in a year or two time, and they were to come here where we live, race and color wouldn't make a difference when you want to take land, when you want to take country, when you want to dominate a space where people live. Would you think that affect you at that time?
I'm a scientist, and that's speculation. So that's not what my current situation is. I have to stay in the present. But I do fear the borders. I do fear in living in Los Angeles, like when Trump was president, I was feared for my life every day because he was playing with fire with China. And this is perpetual. Like, we also have to realize as a people, like, this isn't anything new. We're on spiritual warfare with the devil. As soon as I said I was going to do a press conference, this stuff happens in the whole world. The devil's at war with God and over the land and over earth. It has to do with, as a religious woman, as a spiritual woman, that is just the devil trying to tempt and take souls. That's how I feel. I feel like it's spiritual warfare. Because I felt when Trump was president for those full 4 years and exposing all this stuff and saying all these things, I felt that China, when he was calling a man a little rocket, I felt like China could have blew up Los Angeles or tried to blow up our port. When our port is regardless, is already dead.
And you're so correct with everything you're saying, and it's so true. But don't forget, he also backed Trump. He also supported Trump.
No,
and
I'm
even
saying,
in this
no,
invasion,
not,
he supported Trump.
No,
so
I'm
we,
saying
we
that this
cannot,
was, this, this, no, I'm not saying, what I'm saying is his power and his clout or his cojones is because Trump was president, because of white power. So we have to be clear about who we're fighting for and who we're fighting against. That's not our fight. That was perpetuated by a white man called Trump. And Trump was chummy with this man, and now it's an issue.
Thank you.
I'm putting it as it is.
And that's the truth.
I'm calling it out.
Yes, you are. And that's the truth. I agree with you exclusively. So let's give Gina a hand because she is speaking a side that we need to hear, that we need to take clarity to. We need to take a hear to. Let's give. Thank you, Gina. Now we're going to go
to
a young lady from up in Oregon, up in Portland, King City, Linda Goldie. Linda Goldie, World War III, is it really here or will we have peace?
I don't think we'll ever have peace as long as we're on the earth. We'll have strife of some kind constantly, just from one section or sector or another. You know, I agree with Gina that you know, the devil doesn't quit trying. He tries this and then he tries that, and you know, he never quits. But he's going to have his day. But you know, that's why we need the Lord so much. He's the only thing that's constant, that's stable, that's trustworthy in this life.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's give him the golden hand. I'm always grateful with all of the different insights, because it brings a body of solutions to these topics that Pastor Eddie comes with every week. And this is very important to us. You know, although Gina is right with everything she said, that this was perpetrated by a white guy, Vladimir Putin, and he is attacking white people, I think it involves all of us, because in some way, one way or another, we all may be affected by what's happening over there. You know, we'll pay for it one way or another, and gas prices are going up. Prices at the supermarket started from the pandemic is going up. So,
Brother Clarence.
Yep.
Brother
Go
Clarence,
ahead,
I apologize for interrupting you so abruptly. I apologize for interrupting you. First of all, let's get Cousin V on the line. Welcome to the show, our sports report co-producer, Cousin V. Everybody say good morning to Cousin V.
Good morning, Cousin V.
Well, thank you for continuing to be on the show. Okay, and also, too, we have a caller in the 670-278 area code. Are you there? Caller in the 670-278 area code. Are you there?
Pastor Ramsey is here with you. I'm listening in.
I'm sorry. Caller 570-270-278.
It's Pastor Ramsey. God bless you.
Hey, Pastor
Ramsey.
Hello, Pastor Ramsey.
God bless y'all. How y'all doing today?
Oh, we're happy to have you on. While you're on right now, I want you to pray. Did you hear about Gina? You heard the show, right?
I tuned in right about maybe 20 minutes ago because I have an hour break on the other line, so I figured I'd call in. I called in about 20 minutes ago, so I really didn't hear
Want you to pray for mental health and breaking the stigma on mental health. So without further ado, we're going to have Pastor Ramsey pray on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Go ahead, Pastor Ramsey, take the floor. Give us some prayer. And then we're going to be moving quickly. When we start our other segment, Clarence, you take over. Let's get the sports report first, and then we'll go into the other segments. But we got to get closing remarks on the subject about the war from Professor Reams and Vera. And go right ahead, Professor Reams, and take the floor.
Amen, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now, God, that we're here gathered together. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way with the blood in our veins and the activity of our limbs, and clothed in our right mind. Lord, we thank you for these segments on the radio talk show, Lord, Pastor Eddie's talk show, God. And we just thank you right now, God, that we can come to a conclusion to hold hands in the spirit and touch and agree. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we ask you to lift up this nation right now, God. You know what's going on, Lord. True repentance is needed at this time. Lord, we ask you, Lord, we ask you to bless every state, every country, every city, Lord. Lord, we ask you right now, God, just to move by your spirit throughout this land, God. Lord, we ask you right now, God, to touch everyone who's not feeling well on today, God. We ask you to heal their body from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, God. Lord, we ask you that for renewal and refreshment and restoration this year, God. Lord, we just thank you in advance for the miracle and the testimony and the breakthroughs that's going to take place, Lord. Lord, we just thank God that for this day, because this day is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We ain't promised tomorrow, but Lord, we thank you for this second. We thank you for this minute. We thank you for this hour. And Lord, we just ask you right now, God, as we come together, Lord, just to touch somebody on this line. Touch them in a mighty way, God. We ask you to lift up our children, the next generation. Lord, bless them right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We thank you for what you're about to do. Hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus, because you're up to something, Lord. And we thank you that you're up to something, and all we got to do is catch on to it. And we thank you, Lord, for catching on to it. Lord, we're so careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Consider the prayer done and seal it in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Ramsey, for this powerful prayer. One thing that I'd like to say right quick, I want to give a shout-out to LaWanda Hawkins. She is the CEO of the nonprofit Justice for Murdered Children. Just this weekend, he hosted the 8-hour prayer vigil throughout the city of Los Angeles and around the world. It was on Zoom. We had L.A. Police Chief Michael Moore to come in on the show. L.A. Sheriff Alex Villanueva came on the show. Assemblyman Mike Gibson came in on the show. Many pastors, apostles, bishops, evangelists, normal people, mothers whose children has been murdered in our street was on this show. Many activists came in on this show, so I just want to mention that and give a shout out, because we have our own World War III even in our community, such as our sister Gina has mentioned. And now we're going to go to Cousin B, but before we do, let's get back to this last topic. World War III, is it really here or will we have peace? Professor Reams, let's get your input.
Yes, thank you so much, Clarence Regulator. We've always been at the, when it comes to the 12 o'clock hour, the large hand has always been like 1 minute to 12 o'clock. Because when you talk about World War III, you also talk about that with one side losing, that they'll end up using nuclear weapons, or that both will end up in a nuclear complication. So we've always been in a ready for World War III by the proxy wars that we've had. So it was wise for Joe Biden to say that we're not going to be involved in this, but we will help the Ukrainian people. And the Ukrainian people have already said to U.S. troops, don't help us. We've got this. But you can supply us with missiles and things like that. And they've been having some good victories because they've been holding true and people have been going through. And even inside Russia, there have been major protests. And when you start going after the monies of the oligarchs, that is going to destroy that inner circle with Putin, so they'll start going after each other. So you might hear a lot of ruckus going on. So we've always been ready for World War III in some way, shape, or form. But at least, unlike how it was with the surprise in World War II, where Hitler just decided to invade and then signed a treaty and then invaded Russia, which is kind of ironic because this is the same tactic that Hitler did to Stalin when they had already signed a treaty. So it's just amazing how Vladimir Putin doesn't read his own history and how this was done, and him being considered the victim. So my thoughts are, it's going to dust up just like 2014, just like what happened with the annexation of Crimea. But as you mentioned, Regulator, Boris Johnson has already put in to establish a tribunal to hold Putin for war crimes and a war-trying tribunal. So that's already in place. So let's see what the sanctions will occur. But just remind everyone, as we've already talked about the border, Article 5 of NATO says you attack one of us, you attack us all, and therefore that's why the troops are mounting in the different cities, states, which are now members of NATO. So that's why the migration is moving towards closer to Poland as a strategic move, so that if there's a problem with Kyiv, they can make sure that they move closer to Poland, because then that would push the U.S. and the Soviet Union do not want to have a direct confrontation with each other. They've never had it. It's never happened before. But this could push it to that, which might cause both sides to blink and back off. So all we can do is pray and wait. But as Gina mentioned, as we all mentioned, this is spiritual warfare. But as Linda mentioned, you will never have peace, because if it's not here, there's always a war going on somewhere as part of our existence on this planet. So it is what it is, but it didn't surprise me because Vladimir Putin was talking about doing everything he could to keep Ukraine from becoming part of NATO way back in 2004, 2008, 2014. So this is just part two of what he's planning on doing. And with that, I yield back to you, the regulator.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
History doesn't repeat, it rhymes.
Cousin V, you know, you're closest all of us being down there in Florida. I don't know if you can look across that ocean and see any fireworks popping, but we need to hear some sports report, a change of atmosphere, change of mindset. You know, sports is a entity that brings us all together and for the goodness. So, Cousin V, can we get sports report?
Well, I just came from the Florida Keys yesterday to the southernmost part, 0 miles to anywhere. And I did not see any fireworks, but I did see rain. So anyway, to my sports report, I'm going to start off with Black History, and we're going to talk about Charlie Seifert for the PGA. Charlie Seifert, that's a documentary you want to look at called Urban Fairways, and also there's a link to Learning History. And it's a 4-page learning experience for him on the PGA. So he was the first black in the 1960s to join the PGA, and he won the first USA PGA Cup. But they found out that in the Cup, some crazy, and I'm going to say if we couldn't do stuff back then or say it, but some crazy nut put feces in his cup when he won it. And you know what? We know that hopefully God did take care of that, and we just pray for those people that still, even to this day, do crazy, ridiculous things just because of hatred. He was in the Chichi Rodriguez and the Lee Zeno era. He was the first black to be inducted in the PGA World Hall of Fame. And his, he believed in God. His colleagues say, he said, God picked the right person to be a pioneer and leave a legacy because he never got upset with those people. And they also were in the Phoenix tournament. The Phoenix Open was one of the first tournaments for blacks. And he said, you know what? Through everything they've done to us, we never quit. So that, with that being said, our motto is never quit anything. Always go for in and everything, and always put God in it. And then
Amen.
We had the PGA Honda Classic. We're on the road to the FedEx Cup. The Honda Classic was held right here down the street in Palm Beach, Florida. I can't say his name. Sepp, right? Striker won first place, and then Stan Lowry won second place. Kurt Kitayama, won third place. Daniel Berger won fourth place, and Gary Woodland won fifth place. Daniel Berger was in the lead by 5 shots and ended up in the last round of the 16th to the 18th hole. Striker got 3 birdies and an eagle, and that's how he became the winner. And it's been the largest comeback in the PGA. The FedEx Cup is being held in August 11th through the 14th in Memphis, Tennessee. It's a $15 million purse. It's now called the FedEx St. Jude Championship. And then we also want to say that the Ryder Cup is coming up. It's played in Rome for 2023. They announced the Ryder Cup captain will be Zach Johnson. He's been in 12 tournaments and 2 majors, and he's been the vice captain in 2018 and 2021. And then also just a silent prayer for the family of Tim Rosefort.
He was only 66 years old, and he died from Alzheimer's. And what a young age. Most people are older in their 70s or 80s, but he was only 60-something, which is only 5 years older than me, dying from Alzheimer's. He was a legendary golf journalist of Palm Beach Gardens right here in Florida, and he was an insider for the golf tournament. Golfers wore purple ribbons on yesterday and in his honor. And he also got the PGA Lifetime Achievement Award in journalism. He was on the road with them for 4 decades, so hats off to him. And then they named the Media Center at the Honda Classic Tim Rutherford Media Center. So what an honor. And then we want to get to just a little bit of the NBA. I was able to attend the Miami Heat San Antonio Spurs game on Saturday, right in Miami at the FTX Arena. My son's birthday, well, I'm saying this, happy birthday to him on yesterday, to Randy Jr. His birthday was February 27th, because by the time I got through and everything, it ended up being going from the game until his birthday. So hats off to my son. Bam is number 13, and people always talk about 13 is bad luck, but no, Bam Adebayo scored the highest points in the history with 36 points on Saturday. Tyler Herro had his 3-pointers with 27 points, and Jimmy Butler scored 27 points in 30 minutes. They came from a 16-point deficit to win 133-129. And then also the Dallas Mavericks came from behind on a 21-point deficit to beat the Golden State Warriors 107-101. And Luka Doncic had 37 points in his comeback lead from the 21-point deficit. The celebrities at the Miami Heat game was Floyd Mayweather and the new Miami Dolphins coach. So they showed them up on the big screen, so hats off to them. And then also the Lakers, they had the fans rioted after their game on this weekend when New Orleans Pelicans beat them 123-95. They said the Lakers fans rioted, and then you can even see the Lakers on a really bad storm off the court in the third quarter. The Clippers beat the Houston Rockets by 1.99-98. So this is my sports report. Y'all have a blessed weekend, and though Ukraine is not our problem, but they're human beings, and I've taken care of people from all foreign countries, and they have hearts, and they're humans, and we know, and they blessed the towers. They did come across here and even did things on our own home territory, so we just continue to pray for everyone.
All right for that sports report. Let's give it up for the sports report this morning.
I think one thing we could add to the sports report is Will Smith morning, taking the SAG Award for King Richard.
In the essence of time, we're live on the radio right now, y'all. The Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. At this time, let's go to health and wellness, and it's 10:43 a.m., and you know the show's over at 11, so let's be cognizant of time. Vera Jones, take the floor. Give us health and wellness.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening in to Health and Wellness. As we know, spring is approaching, and everything is blooming. Can you smell the spring in the air? Well, I can. Anyway, March will be here tomorrow, so let's speak about some fruit and vegetables to eat for wellness during the season. And spring is from March 20th to June 21st. So let's include some pineapple, carrots, grapefruit, lemons, beets, cabbage, turnip, artichokes, red onions, radish, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and spinach. And we can also start planting, as I mentioned the week before, let's start growing. Just find out what your last crop date is and what zone you're in. And I believe we're in zone 9 or 10. So you can start some of your items indoor, like okra, melons, kale, potatoes, parsley, lettuce, spinach, and broccoli. So during spring, some of us may experience headaches, allergies, constipation, bloating, just depending on the season change. And just remember that our melatonin production eases up. So depression will be eased because we will have more daylight. And then we'll be able to warm up our body a little easier because the sun will be beaming more. And then our serotonin level, it helps us feel happy, and it's our brain chemicals. So our body temperature is warming up, and the blood is flowing. So that means that our body will be changing. So when you can incorporate some exercise into your daily and weekly regimen, because we have new bodies for spring, and guess what? If we don't, we'll have chronic pain, we'll have a loss of sleep, and it will affect our digestion and our mood. So let's get growing. Let's get started. And spring will be springing out in a moment. That's my segment for today. Amen.
Mira Jones.
Dr. Granny V.
You know, I've been going through this manual, regulate the manual, and we're still in the gang members, and I'm going to make a quick, brief reading. Now, to all the G's and the OG's, man the doors. Nobody moves, nobody escapes, and no one is to leave this place until this meeting is finished. Camp out. We may be here for a while. Oh, yeah, back in the days, they used to have some camps within the neighborhoods. To the rest of you new ones, sit down and be quiet. You will learn a thing or two, the gang member. We will do our very best not to get into any of the specifics on names of any kind. All of this must be done in order not to only protect the innocent, but to also protect the guilty. So remember, we will always keep trying to protect everyone, for real, only at the right price. Today, there are many gang members who are selling their own homies out for a little or nothing. What about using characters instead of using names as being a gang member? But in case a name or a number may slip by, someone may have to pay the cost. But anyway, we will stick to the characters of the gang members. Every gang member should always carry with them a few good characters at all times. These few characters should be the best characters that you can conjure up. These characters better be the characters that can help you get through any given situation. Being a gang member, you will always have to have some situations where the ordinary you will not do. It will be the character that is in you who will help to guide you through your journeys. Is that you, Pachetti?
No, you go right ahead, Clarence. You're doing a great job. Go right ahead.
There will be many different kinds of situations that you will have to go through. There are some things that you can rest and be assured of. The Triple OG is here to let you know there will always be some of these different kinds of characters who are gang members that lives and thrives in a neighborhood near you. Today, it does not matter where you're living. If you are living within the confines of the concrete jungles of the world, all the way up to the highest hills, or you are living way out of sight, somewhere near you, there will be some of these characters who are gang members living near you. And I'm going to stop right there because of the essence of time. And next week, I'm going to go back a little farther into the characters of the gang members. And you can only get this in Regulate the Manual at regulatethemanual.com, your bookstore, Autodesk, Amazon, This book is everywhere. I want to thank everyone for listening and hearing this, because this book is written, and you are in here.
Yay,
well, we have come to the point of the show where the Eddie Justice Jones limousine has been rolling throughout this nation and around the world. And there's only one man capable of slamming the trunk. And once he slammed the trunk, this show has hit the road. Professor Reams, the commentator. This is the man that sews the suit that completes our dressing for the show. Professor Reams.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Clarence Allen, the regulator. It's an honor. And with all the comments, once again, you have painted my palette with a lot of things, so I'm going to try and do it within the interest of time. So first of all, thank you so much, Pastor Eddie Corkin, a wonderful show, which has also hit the real deal Holyfield and the facts that we're dealing with. And so what I normally do, I'll thank all of my fellow co-producers and commentators for their brilliance. And so we'll have first and good to have you back. Cousin V, thank you so much. And thank you for the sports report. It's been missed. Clarence, the regulator, once again, your prophet, dealing with Regulate the Manual. Thank you so much for those wisdom of words and observations from your book. Dr. Granny V, thank you so much for reminding us that spring is coming and that we need to start eating under the rainbow, which is always a show of life and hope, and that we should plant and also do the things and enjoy the benefits of spring in light of everything else. A shout out to Talana. A shout out to Melanie. And a shout out to Dr. Aretha. I hope they'll have a blessed week during this week. And to Linda Goldie, thank you so much. Down on myself, I got my hug as usual. Always, always, always a nice hug that I get. To Pastor Ramsey, thank you for the wonderful prayer. Always an inspiration and always electrifying. That gets my energy up to do what I do for the week, for the rest of the week. So bless you for that. And finally, to our wonderful guest of Gina Valentino Labode, thank you so much for coming on to the show. And your testimonial is going to be pivotal, especially with your actions. So, folks, as we already get through this point, Clarence Allen has put forth through the Haunted Soul Brother, the monsters that we're dealing with. Well, we're faced with the monsters of humiliation, of retaliation, of racism, and also the potential of war. And so with that, we were hit with this as the negative. But as we were reminded by Gina and also through many of our spiritual leaders that this has been a spiritual war that's been going on since the beginning of time of good and evil, and that when it manifests themselves, it only wins when good people do not take action against it. But the good thing about it is that this is a lesson where, yes, the first advancement or first punch or first advancement does occur, but we will have the final say-so on how it ends. And so let's take a look at some of the wonderful things that are going on, because we're coming at the end of Black History Month. And the Civil Rights Association that Pastor Jones has ended up on a note, as I would expect it to, in civil rights, as he's been doing for all of his life, bringing up the idea of health, wellness, and also the racism that goes on in the mental health as it's affecting Kaiser, and also protesting a couple days before the end, showing that our movement of civil rights is alive and well, but reminding us that it's a lifetime, it's not a spectator sport, and so everyone has to do their part. And so with Gina being the brave, brilliant person that she is, she has now taken on an institution that otherwise folks would have kowtowed to, but now is starting the movement towards rehabilitating this institution. The one thing it reminds us is how with African Americans, even as I mentioned before, we weren't meant to be or benefit from the system. We are always with God trying to change it over, which pleases him very much because we are forgiving and we do what I normally do when I get a hold of something, I make it better than what it was before when I first met onto it. And that's the way that we're going to be working forward in prayer, love, and in forgiveness, in addressing the issue that has been afflicting mental health, especially at Kaiser. So with that, applause to Gina for her bravery and to Eddie for also being there at the right time to do the right thing and part of God's work. And that brings us to the word of the week, because the fact that our forefathers and foremothers gave us the foundation to fight the fight. This month reminds us that the fight never dies and that we'll always be in front on the battlefield. And so it is important that, as Linda Goldie mentioned, that, you know, we keep God in the presence. We know where to find him because he won't mind it. And in doing so, since he won't mind it, we could put God first. We see what the problem is. We address it. And then we do it in love. We do it with forgiveness. And we do it with patience and also with the idea that we will overcome. So in the end, the foundation that we have has prepared us. We also say a prayer to the Ukrainian people because they're part of the Slavic Indo-European race where they have experienced slavery because the Slav part means slave. So they have said what we said in this instance that God is reminding us, as Cousin P has just said to us, that when we're hit with such negative insurrection and problems, we will never quit. And with that, that is our battle cry for this week. So let's support Gina with all our hearts and our prayers and our love and move forward so that we can resolve this issue together. And with that, that's my commentary.
Thank you, Professor Rain.
Wow, that was really good, Professor Rain. Really good.
Thank you, Eddie.
Okay.
Thank you, Clarence.
Really good, really good. What a commentary. Okay, Professor Rain, to everybody out there, you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights and my rights and our rights, because we all have rights. Caller in the 310-482 area code, are you there? Caller in the 310-482 area code, are you there?
Yes, it's me. Hi, just thank you again. I love you so much. I appreciate you.
Okay, we love you too, Gina. We love you too. We love you too. And all right, so with that being said, remember, I always say, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. Remember that the best is yet to come. Remember that the only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Clarence Jim Allen, take the floor. Close us out. Everybody did a great job.
Amen.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, what's up,
brother, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
No matter
hey,
what. Hey. The little black boys and girls don't cry or fight to find an alibi. So you can go outside and never die. We will
Pastor Eddie, thank you to all our listeners.
Thank you so much. Okay, now that you've done that, Clarence, and played that nice song, I want to go out with this song right here, like we do every week. This is for all the people that are still listening.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey,
what's
up now?
Brother,
what's
up? Hey, how you doing?
Man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate.
Thank you.